I was about to get the best of that other one. Did y'all notice that was a New World Translation? No, it's not. I'm teasing. Thank y'all very much. No doubt I needed that. I'd like to say that this Bible has all this wire from Hughes. I think it's fell off the car a couple of times. Part of it, but thank y'all. If you're involved in children's church, you can be dismissed at this time. Got a good group here today, and that's a good group there, isn't it? That's a good group. That's the future. If the Lord tarries his coming back, that will be the future of Osage Baptist Church. And many of you young people that are out here are not. I think the donuts were great to be up here this morning, but they held back. They kind of held back. They had a lot more freedom up at the camp. So they were kind of reserved for y'all this morning. But I'm telling you, that group has blessed my heart. And those that came as workers, the youth that came as workers, that filled in those positions. They worked as counselors. They did it, all kinds of different jobs. I tell you, it was just a blessing. And I didn't realize how many youth workers we had until Wednesday night, and I had them to line up behind me there at the bonfire, and there was a crew of them, and we're so blessed here to have, and all of the workers, thank y'all for making that camp so wonderful. It was. I've been going to camp over 40 years, and that was the best camp I'd ever been at. It was great. There wasn't any. There's no problems. Bill Burns said that the reason we didn't have any problems was because Tina had to leave early. But she's not here to take that, so you can pass it on. But we had a great, great week, and we had several young people saved somewhere around 10 that gave their heart and life to Jesus. Now, church, do we believe that there really is a hell? Now, I know that there are some groups out there. There are some churches that do not believe that there's a hell. There is getting to be more and more all the time that preach like there's not a hell. But do we not believe that there's a hell? I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. We have heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We are trying to pull people out of the fire. And there's 10 that was pulled out of the fire. Isn't that great stuff? I mean, really, when you think of it, it's the difference between an eternity in hell and an eternity in heaven. When someone gets saved, that's a big deal. It is a big deal when somebody gets saved. I mean, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that comes to repentance. So they had a party in heaven this week. We ought to be having a party. We need to make it a big deal, a big deal. when someone gets saved, because it is a big deal. I mean, it's the devil does all that he can to hold a grip on those that are lost. The God of this world has blinded their eyes. The devil just keeps putting up blinders, keeps putting things in the path of those that are lost to try to keep them from accepting Christ as their Savior. And when they do, it is a big deal. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter. I hope this got the same books in it, because they keep moving around in this one here. 1 Peter, the first chapter. Now, I want us to grab hold of this today, and there's been so much false teaching about what we're going to talk about today, that I want to preface this in such a way that you absolutely understand it. Holiness is not for some people and not for other people who are Christians. Holiness is for everyone. A lot of times when we get the idea, when we think about holiness, we think that someone's walking around with some kind of halo over their head and they're holding their hands up like this, that they're not going to touch anything or be involved in anything. That is not the Bible's definition of holiness. Now, I know that some people, they get the idea of that holiness has that deal of without sin. That is not what that word means. It literally means separated for His use. Separated for His use. Set aside for the Lord's use. You see, God has a plan for every single person here today. And a magnificent plan. Now, the devil tries to throw a monkey wrench in the fan. Something worse. But he absolutely tries to throw something in the fan. But holiness is for everyone. It literally means being separated for His use. It doesn't mean without sin. You and I know that for the Christian, sin is not to be a practice, but we do sin. That's the reason the Bible says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who stands beside us when we sin. And then it gives us this way to correct our fellowship. And so, sin is not that God is just waiting for us to step out of line so He can squish us down like some kind of bug. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. But the reason, one of the reasons that God hates sin so bad is that sin separates us from fellowship with God. Your sin has separated between you and your God. Sin separates us from that fellowship. God wants to have fellowship with us. Now, I know that's difficult to think about that, but we were created for God to have fellowship with Him. Fellowship. That means a relationship. He wants to walk with us and be with us. So, I hope you get the right idea of holiness as we look at this passage today. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter's in the New Testament. It's over toward the end of the New Testament. And by the way, my wife's not going to get this Bible. My kids bought a new Bible for me a couple years ago, and Gwen liked it. She just took it. And I think that has my name in it. I don't know if having your name on it makes a difference or not. Yeah, it does. Look at the front page. Uh, Thank you for that. Thank you so much for that. 1 Peter, the first chapter, and beginning with verse 13. Let's stand together as we give honor and reverence to God's holy word. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you, here is our word, is holy. Who's called you? Jesus has called you. If I called you, you're still lost. Jesus has called you. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's old King James language. What does that mean? What does that word conversation mean? It doesn't mean that you and I are talking. That's not what that means. It means your manner of life. It's just living it out. Living it out. Living out your Christianity from day to day in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. So he says, this is where you were, this is where you are now. Received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And you and I are experiencing that. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let me read a couple more verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You may be seated. In verse 16, the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So God is holy. In Psalms 22 and verse 3, the Bible says, speaking of God, says, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Set aside. I mean, that literally, think of it in this way and try to keep contact with this. Keep it hooked up in your mind that it's set aside. You are set aside, God, for the praises of Israel. Isaiah 6 and verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. In Psalm 60 and verse 6, God has spoken in His holiness. When we read God's Word, it's holy. It's set aside. It's special. This word is special. It has the words of life. It shows us from day to day how to live. In one of our morning Bible studies, Brother Leon's been leading. Mike Dishroon was talking about a security system actually the human eye is very unique. Everyone's eye is different. And so now they have security systems that you look in this security deal with your eye. And Mike made a statement. He said, you think that you're looking at it, but really, it's looking at you. You think you're looking at it, but really, it's looking at you. When you open the Word of God and begin to read the Word of God, you think that you're reading it. And you are. You think you are reading it. But in reality, it is reading you. It is reading you. It's looking deep. The Word of God is powerful. It's alive, the Bible says. It's alive. It's quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. And the intentions of men's hearts. And so it is reading you. God is holy in His work. God is holy in His work. In Psalms 145 and verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. Now for the definition. I love this. In the Old Testament, the word holiness suggests sanctity or setting apart of the things. It's described as sacred to the purpose of God alone. Are you getting that? It's for God alone. For God alone. Are you getting that? And so our lives, when He says be holy, our lives are to be for God alone. Not part of us here and part of us over there. Not part of us, our mind here. Getting all dressed up in our Sunday best and coming to church on Sunday morning. But my friend, it's Monday morning. Yes. It's Monday morning. It's Tuesday morning. It's all during the week. It's when we're on the job. It's when someone has taken our parking place at Walmart. It is when someone cuts us off in traffic. It is when one of those people who comp get in front of us in the Walmart line. It's every day. Amen. It's every day. I hope there's probably some comforts here. I did that on purpose. It's described as sacred to the purpose of God alone. You say, well, people have other interests other than just coming to church. It's not just coming to church and sitting reading your Bible constantly or reading some kind of Christian magazine all of the time and just constantly. No, we do have other things. But at the forefront, it's God alone. It's God set aside. It's us set aside for God's purpose. In the New Testament, the word is basically the same. The thing or the person is so described belongs peculiarly and only to God. The Anglo-Saxon word is wholeness or healthiness. And I want us to grab hold of that because we get the idea that if we give ourselves totally to the Lord some way, we won't be happy. I mean, if I couldn't do this, well, I wouldn't be happy. It wouldn't satisfy me. I wouldn't be fulfilled. But in reality, God knows that what fulfills our life is Him. He's the fulfillment in our life. And that the devil convinces us that this would make us happy. We would really be fulfilled. I mean, when those guys get way up there on the mountaintop and all of them buddying around together and they got their Budweiser with them and they're just having the best time, and one of them says to the other one, "It doesn't get any better than this." Well, I got news for them. It does get better than this. See, I was raised in that alcohol world. I know about that alcohol world. I know how it destroys lives. I know how it breaks up families. I know how that the man that should be the spiritual leader of the house and the godly man of the house takes the last cent that the family has and buys alcohol with it because he has this craving that he cannot fulfill any other way, and destroys his family and makes a wreck of the home. And it doesn't get any better than this. Are you kidding me? Who are we trying to fool? Well, I'll tell you, the devil's trying to fool a whole bunch of people.
Amen.
And so God knows that when we give ourselves totally to Him and absolutely to Him in this holiness set aside for His service, that fulfills us. It's a fulfilling. And it fulfills our needs. It fulfills our life. And when we get outside of that, we see great failure. We belong particularly, peculiarly, and only to God. Wholeness and healthiness, healthy spiritually. He sets us apart when He saves us for His purpose alone. God never makes a demand upon us that He doesn't give us the provision, provides us the provision for that demand. And I wanted to get to this. When we get saved, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, comes in to us. He comes in to us. He comes into our heart. He's living in us. Now, the youngest bowling boy, Blake, when Blake got saved, Blake and I were talking in the office, and I said to Blake, when you ask Jesus to save you, He comes into your heart. And he said, "How does He get in there?" That's a good question, don't you think? How does He get in there? And tonight I'm going to tell you. No, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know. And that's what I told Blake. I don't know how He gets in there. I said, maybe it comes through your ears. I don't know. But He gets in there. He is in there. He is in there. He comes into your heart and He lives in you. So when He tells us to be holy, guess what? He furnishes everything that we need to be set aside. And I want to show you these verses that absolutely declares that He is everything that we need. Look at 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Romans, Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Well, this is coming apart. Stay together just long enough. You act pitiful enough, people will do stuff for you. 1 Corinthians 1, look at verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now pay close attention. Don't lose it, because some people have lost this verse. They've misunderstood this verse. Who is God? Who of God is made unto us? God is doing it in us. In 2 Peter, where we are, only 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter, the first chapter and the fourth verse. 2 Peter 1, look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That we might be partakers of the divine, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. It's God imparting his nature in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now look with me over in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Look at verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us. Let me make sure I'm in the right one. 12 and verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers, there's our word, of his holiness. Stephen Alford says in one of his books, in no way whatsoever is holiness the product of human effort. It is rather a work of God made effective in us by the indwelling life of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holiness is preserved in us by God. God is doing the work. Look at 1 Thessalonians, Colossians. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 23. 5 and verse 23. Now, I'm going to stop here and start later, but I want us to get hold of this one point for sure. That's what someone asked my old college professor, said, how many points do you think that a sermon should have? And he said, well, it ought to at least have one. So if you don't catch anything else, I want you to catch this today. So verse 23, and the very God of peace. Now, the New Testament word sanctify means to set aside, right? The New Testament word holy means to set aside. So these are first cousins. I mean, they are right there together. These words are real close to the same thing. So when you say sanctify and whenever you say holy, it's real close to the same thing. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole, now here it is, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, do your best. Is that what that's saying? We've got to be careful here. We've got to be very careful. We would think that living the Christian life is up to us. Now, I'm not saying there's not any choices in it. I believe there's choices in it. But I'm telling you, dear friend, I can't do it. I cannot live the Christian life. And like David Jeremiah says, the guy that gives me the most trouble in the Christian life is the guy I shave every morning. Yes, I look in the mirror at him and I think, Lanny, you cause more trouble than anybody I know. So, I fail. I make mistakes. Andy Griffith said, I'm always getting a seat of my britches caught on my own pitchfork, constantly. But there is someone who can live the Christian life perfectly the way it is to be lived. You know where he's at? He's in here. He's in here. Well, then why don't I live a perfect life? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I failed to give him all. It's those times that I'm getting my seat of my britches caught on the pitchfork is when I'm failing to live, when I'm failing to yield my life to him. Because he wants to live it through me. And I keep getting in the way. Now, this is what I wanted you to see. The very God of peace, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. Who is doing the sanctifying here? Tell me. Who's doing the sanctifying? Am I? Who is? So if I'm not doing it, somebody else is doing it. Who's the person that's doing it? God is doing it. God sanctify you wholly. God is the one that is sanctifying you and me. Now look. Faithful is he that calleth you. Those next few words are wonderful. And that if we could ever grab hold of that, it would absolutely change our lives. The one that called you. Who's the one that called you? Jesus called you. God called you. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Whosoever will, let him come. Drink of the water of life freely. Jesus is calling. What do those next three words say? Faithful is the one that called you who will turn you loose and say, make it the best you can. Is that right? That is not right. What does he say? Who will also do it. And the it is not in the original. It actually says, the one that will do. He will do. He does the doing. He does the doing. That doesn't mean that we don't have choices in our life to live the Christian life. We make some decisions along the way. I have a choice whether to fly mad over something. But God is there. That when I say, Lord, boy, I can't handle this. He said, I don't want you to handle it. I'll handle it for you. You just back off, Landon, and let me have it. When he says, cast all your care on me because I care for you. You know, he has commanded me to love you. Well, what if you're not very loving? What if you're not very lovely? And he's commanded me to love you. What he wants to do is love you through me. Amen. He wants to live that life out through me. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross so that you might have eternal life. Amen. When you stand before the judgment and God were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? And you'd say, well, I'm just a pretty good guy or I'm a pretty good gal. Well, that is just not the answer. What you would have to say and what I would have to say is that Jesus died for me on the cross. I've asked him to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, and be my Savior. That's the reason that I get to go to heaven. Amen. He wants to save you. He wants to change you. He wants to come and live in your life. I was visiting with a friend of mine a good while back. And I was going through the plan of salvation with him. He and I went from the first grade through the 12th grade together. And I gave an illustration about Jesus walking up the sidewalk and knocking on his door. And I said, Jim, if Jesus were to walk up your driveway, come up and knock on your door, and you know by him knocking on your door what he wants is to come and live in your house with you. And I thought this was priceless. I said, Jim, would you open the door and let Jesus come and live in your house? He said, he can come and live in my house and sleep in my bed. He was ready to be saved, really. I mean, that's what the deal was. And matter of fact, he did. He prayed that night and asked Jesus to come into his heart to be his Savior. Is that you today? If Jesus walked up your sidewalk, knocked on your door, and you knew by his knocking, I want to come and make residence in your life, in your heart. I want to come and live in your heart. Separate you for my service. Would you open the door and say, come in, Jesus. Live in my house. Sleep in my bed. Would you be willing to do that today if Jesus is knocking on your heart's door? God said, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I know it's God's will. If you're not saved, I know it's God's will for you to be saved. And then he wants you to make that public. He wants you to confess the Lord before man. He said, if you don't confess me before men, I'll not confess you before the Father. Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized. You can walk the few steps it is where I'm at and say, Brother Lanny, I've invited Jesus into my heart as Savior, and now I want to follow him in baptism. What I need to do, I can tell you, we'll set aside a time and we'll have baptism service. Maybe you're here today and God's dealt with your heart about becoming a part of this fellowship, joining this fellowship. And you can do that by being saved, being scripturally baptized, or you can transfer your letter from another church to this church. A lot of different ways that you can become part of this fellowship. And that's God's will for your life, is to find out where he wants you at and throw in there and go to work for the Lord. Wherever it is. If it's not here, it's somewhere. Brother Matt's going to come, and we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to invite you to come make a decision for Christ today. So, as our musicians come, as Brother Matt comes, let's stand together. And would you just do what God has called on you to do today? Anyone?